Good evening. This is Dr. For Jesus coming to you this evening with another powerful word of the Lord on Project Faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. I want to go ahead and start on the podcast tonight. Thank you again for listening. Thank you again for coming and partaking of the word of the Lord. Lord, this is the place where we know that we get our strength. This is the place where our faith is elevated. But this is the word of the Lord. It's a place where it's safe, it's a safe place. And I thank the Lord on today for the word. For the word of the Lord. So without further ado, I want to go ahead and get started and talking about today. Talking about being obedient and patient, the keys to consistency and faithfulness. I use this title before, but I'm going to use it again. The keys to consistency and faith. The keys to consistency and faith. Obedience and patience are the wonder twins of faith. Let me say that again. Obedience and patience are the wonder twins of faith. Both of them work together in order for us to be able to receive what God is saying in his word, to be able to receive what we are hearing from God and being able to receive and to move in the things of God so that we will not be sidetracked because of a lack of faith, because our patience will endure. Even when we don't see it right then, even when we don't have not come in contact with it or it has not appeared yet, our patience will ride us until we are able to see the faith that we are, the things that we are believing God in. So today I'm founded my foundation of scripture is Isaiah 1:19. Isaiah 1:19. It says, if you willingly obey me, the best crops in the land will be yours. Say that again, Isaiah 1:19. If you willingly obey me, the best crops in the land will be yours. It's funny how obedience is connected to everything that we do for God. Because without obedience, we cannot have faith. Without obedience, we can't even walk in faith. Because we have to obey in order to make things move, in order to make the faith process come to pass. So there are rewards to obedience, and obedience is to faith as faith is to patience. So in fact of that, God's best to us only comes through obedience. Obedience is a learned behavior. And when we do what God tells us to do, we will always receive from God abundant storehouse. So a choice to obey God is a choice to spend your days enjoying the best that God has for you or what God has to offer. The Bible says in Job 36:11, it says, if they listen and obey God, they will be blessed with prosperity throughout their lives and all their years will be pleasant. So as we continue on this journey of faith, as we continue on this journey to trust God, we must have a willingness and a readiness to obey all of God's instructions. We cannot obey what we want to obey, but we have to obey all of God's instructions. Let's talk about a little bit here about the substitute, to say that there is no substitute for obedience. Though many of us wish that there were. But God's divine power is always the end result of obedience. Every time you see somebody in the power of God, moving in the power of God, walking in the power of God, or doing anything that's bringing the power on the scene, it is because they are in obedience. They are not substituting their obedience for anything but to please God. And so your success in life depends on your obedience. Obedience is defined as a calculated choice to comply and carry out the will of God. There are three types of obedience. The first one is constrained obedience. The second one is partial obedience. And the third one is willful obedience. Now, constrained obedience is what you call forced obedience. That is imposed because of circumstances, age, and other outside confinement. This will not be involved, but Obedience imposes on the believer by external forces and not God. So when you are constrained to obey, that means that there's something outside of who God is in your life that is bringing you into a place of obedience. In other words, it's not God's obedience that you're obeying, but it's an outside occurrence. Good example. You come to church because you are constrained to obey. Not that you want to come, but you come because you don't want anybody calling you. You don't want anybody saying anything to you. Even as you do, if you don't watch yourself, you will walk in constrained obedience in a whole lot of areas of your life that you don't even realize. And that strained obedience, I mean, and me being a leader and a pastor, and me being over people, I can see constrained obedience at work very easily. And I can see when people are doing just to be seen. I can see when people are doing because they feel like that they need to do it. I can see when people are in a place with God and they are constrained by outside consequences and outside people. Most people do because other people do. Not that they want to be obedient, but they are obedient because they are constrained to be obedient. So we have to make sure that we are not constrained to do constrained obedience. We have to make sure that we're not walking in that. So partial, let's talk a little bit about partial obedience. Partial obedience is where many people live. That's where majority of the body of Christ lives. They live in this, what you call partial obedience. Partial obedience is where many people live. You should know that ultimately, because partial obedience is what? Disobedience. Where there's partial obedience, and that's the reason why we got to be very careful, people of God, that we're not partially obeying. We're not partially in obedience, and that we are obeying to the fullness of what God is saying. We're obeying his word to the fullness. We are obeying his leadership to the fullness. We are obeying, oh God, the things of God to the fullness. Because if we're not obeying to the fullness, then that means that we are partial in our obedience, which is still total disobedience. So following most of what God says would not lead you to the victorious life of faith. And that's the reason why a lot of people are not seeing the miraculous things of God. The reason why a lot of people can't even walk in the supernatural, because they can't even be obedient to the small things of God. And so when it comes for movement, when it comes for growth, when it comes for activation in their lives, when it comes for coming up to the next level or moving into the next dimension with God, they have a problem with that because they have not been walking in obedience in their lives with God. A lot of Christians have wasted their time in God because they have not obtained the precious obedience of God to walk therein and be there and keep it steady with God in their obedience, because they're in and out of obedience. So the only way that you will succeed is through willful obedience. This is the pathway to promotion. Willful obedience. So what will it take for you to walk in willful obedience? It's a question. I'm glad you asked. First, you would need to accept God as the most significant being in your life. There can be nothing else in your life that's more significant to you than God. If God is second, if God is third, if God is fourth, then that means that you have not accepted him as the most significant being. He cannot become the God after your job. He cannot become the job after your children. He cannot become the job after your husband. He cannot become the job after your wife. He cannot become that person after, you know, or those people or your influence or whatever you're doing or whatever is coming in and out of your life. He cannot be second, third, or fourth in that. So we need to accept that. He must be the most significant thing, first of all, in our lives. The one who's the most important will have the most influence and the right to give you instruction. Now, just think about it. I said earlier, think about it. If your job is your most significant thing, first of all, in your life, then that means that your job rules you. That job has preeminence over you. That job has precedent over you. The job dictates your life. The job tells you who you are. The job says this, do this, and you do it. The job says you better be here or you better be there, and you are there. You obey the job more than you obey God. That's what partial obedience brings. So if someone else occupies this role, you will find it difficult to obey God. Every time something occupies this role more than God does, your obedience to it occupies more than God, it will be very difficult for you to obey God. Now, if your acceptance from God alone is your priority, then you will be able to operate in consistent obedience. And this is where we come in, people of God. And even things, all this, what you have listened to me about and talked to me about, or whatever the case may be, and brought to you, or wherever you have been, and whatever you've been listening from this day forward, from the moment I started this faith thing, this is the part that I need for you to get most of all, that you cannot be impartial obedient. You cannot be impartial obedient because it is not partial obedience. It's just plain disobedience. So find yourself, okay, listen to this lesson really clearly and really closely tonight, this evening, because I want you to understand that your obedience must be significantly geared around God. And then you will be able to operate in consistent obedience. And on the other hand, you need to understand and accept from anyone, you need acceptance from anyone else, you will be prone to compromise. If acceptance from God alone is your priority, then you will be able to operate consistently in obedience. If, on the other hand, you need acceptance from anyone else, you will be prone to compromise. Prone to compromise. So this is what is going to happen is you're going to notify your ability to make bold moves. It will always notify, and I'm so glad that that the Lord is dealing with me about this tonight, because a lot of people think that it's fear that holds them back, but it's your obedience that's holding you back. It's your disobedience that's holding you back. It is your disobedience because this will notify your ability to make bold moves for God. That have you ever wondered why you can't make bold moves for God? And I know I've been teaching on unbelief because, yes, that is involved. And I know that you think that it's fear. Yes, that a lot of that is involved. But tonight, I really believe it's because you don't have the bold ability to make bold moves in God. It's because of your partial obedience. Now, God will ask you to make moves that others will not understand. And this is the place where I'm in right now, because he's making me make moves in places that I have never been in before, places that I didn't know I could even walk in. He's been pushing me and bringing me into new dimensions in him and showing me new ways to come in and out of him. And so even with that, I understand that if I don't obey him, I won't move. If I don't obey him, I won't see what he's trying to do and where he's trying to take me. If I'm not in full obedience to him, then if there is something else in my life that's taking more room than he is, then I'm going to be prone to leave what he's saying, or I'm not going to believe what he's saying because my faith is not there because of disobedience, and I'm not walking in those things that he has called me to walk in. So you have to understand that moves that others would not understand, and even in the ability to understand, does not negate you what God told you to do. You still have to go and do what God has called you to do. Now, let's go to the next thing. It says you will need to take action. Okay, let's talk about an action. Action are bold steps of obedience. Without full or complete understanding, without these bold actions, without being able to take these bold steps of obedience, and without full or complete understanding, we might not be able to move in those things that we are believing God for. I mean, you're in your prayer closet praying prayers. You're in your prayer closet speaking to God about things in your life and where you want to come up and what you want to do. And you are talking to him and you're in there for a long time just saying the things and telling him about the things that you want to do. But not understanding and asking God, say, God, you know, God, give me more faith. God, give me more boldness. You know, God, give me more the ability to be in full and complete obedience to you. Because remember when Joshua when Joshua and he had his walk around the walls of Jericho, God's instructions to him were unusual. They held no military merit. And, you know, one thing you have to think of is that, yet, even though Joshua did not fully understand the instruction, he still obeyed God. And that's where we have a problem at, because when we don't fully understand something, we'll back up and back out. When we don't fully understand something, we will kick against it. When we don't fully understand what God is doing in our lives, we become fearful and we move in unbelief. But God kept his word. God will never tell you to do anything that violates his will or your integrity or your witness. The other thing you have to see is that you should be very aware that you will come under attack, oh God, Lord, for your obedience. Oh, I know that so well. Oh, that I know that so well, because I can sense it in the realm of the spirit when people are coming against what God is doing because they do not understand. And because we come up under this attack, because we are obedient to God, because the enemy wants us to stop in our tracks what God has called us to do. So he'll bring us under attack for the obedience that we are giving unto God. So now, if that is the case in point in your life, what you need to do is you must determine to confront every mental argument. Yes, mental. Because it becomes a mental argument in your brain whether I should do this or whether I should not do this. It becomes a mental, and it begins to make you move back and step back from what God has told you and what God has called you to and what you have been walking in all this time. But then all of a sudden, you become mentally disturbed in a way that you begin to argue in your mind and contrary thoughts that causes you to question God's will. These contrary thoughts will attack you. What you have to understand, that faith, the faith walk, faith is not a walk that's seen. Faith is not a walk that you feel. But you got to expect it. You have to prepare in advance to aggressively respond with faith-filled words when the mental arguments start in your mind. Ah, Jesus. Oh, this is good to me. Last, you should appropriate the power of God to help you to obey. Appropriate the power of God. This is called the grace. When the pressure mounts, yes, Lord. When the pressure mounts, you will need to declare this grace over your life to keep you in a state of obedience. Every time you begin to move out of the will of God, or begin to disobey God and what he has called you to do or told you to do, you've got to begin to open up your mouth. There you go again. And begin to declare grace over yourself and to keep you in a state of obedience. You cannot turn back once you have stepped out in faith. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. You cannot step back. You cannot step back once you have stepped it out in faith. You can't take it back. If you do, you will lose your momentum. God, this is good. You remember, the devil wants you to get out of obedience, because he knows if you get out of obedience, you will never receive God's best in the state of disobedience. So I want you to make this commitment right now to obey God, no matter how long it takes for your faith to manifest results. Let me say that again. Make a commitment to obey God, no matter how long it takes your faith to manifest. If you are willing to stand, and this is what you have to understand, if you're willing to stand in faith forever, you will not have to. Some people try to give God a deadline. Oh, that's so us. Oh, we want to give God a deadline that they can manipulate. I'm not in the business of manipulating God, but you know, sometimes we manipulate God and not even know it. But we cannot, we have to make sure that we cannot be manipulating God. We cannot be manipulating him and acting on our behalf. This will not work, people of God. After all, you have to understand that God's been around a long time. He has every trick. He has heard every trick before and even in the previous of tricks, before and after. So this is where patience comes in. Let's listen to this. Patience comes in And this is when the wonder twins come together. I told you patience and obedience are wonder twins. Patience is a partner of faith. Let that marinate for 1 second there. Patience is a partner to faith. Most people do not understand patience because of the world we live in. Everybody wants everything microwaved. Everybody wants everything fast. Everybody wants God to do everything they want him to do. Everybody wants God to move when they want him to move. But patience is a partner to faith. So we have to understand patience. We have to know that we cannot think patience is standing around and waiting for something to happen. That's not patience. And then, however, that is not biblical patience. Well, I'm just going to wait. I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God to do this. I'm waiting on God to do that. I'm waiting on God to bring my children out. I'm waiting on God, oh God, to bring me into a place with him. I'm waiting on God to answer my prayer. I'm waiting. No. That's not patience. That's not patience. Patience is shown when you do not become sluggish. Patience is shown when you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience have inherited the promises. Hebrews 6 and 12. Patience cannot compromise zeal. Zeal. Zeal without knowledge. Zeal without waiting. Zeal without understanding. Patience is shown when you do not become in a place where you begin to activate on or become sluggish in your activation. Patience is not a cop-out. Patience is not resigning from the fight, but a determination to keep fighting while there are no visible victory. Expectation, when patience cannot compromise your zeal, anticipation, expectation, or your confession. Patience is not a cop-out covered in religious language. Yeah. So many Christians become tired in the fight. And having lost their resolve, they declare that God released them from the faith commitment. How many of us have said that? Because we didn't see answer, because we were not patient, because we were not obedient, now we want to release ourselves from the faith commitment. That's the reason why we don't get the best things of God. That's the reason why we don't walk in the best things of God. That's the reason why we don't walk in the power and the anointing of God in this hour. It's because we give up too quick. So here we are. The truth is those persons quit prematurely. And when you quit prematurely, you become a quitter. But that does not mean that you can stay a quitter. Patience is an active force of perseverance. Patience is endurance. Patience is fortitude. Patience is persistence. Now, if you look at these, none of these words sound like giving up. Patience is a force of action that does not distract you from your corresponding action or your systematic movement or way of doing things in your faith process, but it undergirds it. With the force of patience, you possess a greater tenacity to succeed. The Bible says in Luke 21 and 19 says, by your steadfastness, patience and endurance shall win the true life of your souls. He says in Romans 2 and 7 says, to those who by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, we will give eternal life. Romans 5 and 3 through 4 says, and not only that, we are also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. So you are not waiting to see what happens. You are making things happen. Say that again. You are not waiting to see what happens. You are making things happen. You may have to make some changes, and you should not sit back and do nothing. Patience is the spiritual resolve that gives birth to the strength and the tenacity necessary to fight through opportunities to quit. You can give up, but you don't choose not. You choose not to. Always remember, for those who have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Hebrews 10:36. You will receive everything that God has promised if you obey and walk in patience and endurance. I got five more. I'm gonna give you five more minutes until I'm done. Don't stop believing. This is what you got to understand. Don't stop believing. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, but we live by faith, not but what we see. Faith is not magic. It is a systematic spiritual process that creates God's will in your life. Faith can change anything, but faith must be exercised for it to work. As you read this, as you hear me tonight, and as I am reading this, and as I'm going through this lesson tonight, you are going to learn 8 steps to exercising your faith on a continuous basis. You've already learned that the component to faith is the process. That would be the practical steps that you will keep, that will keep your faith growing. As you put these into practice daily, you will see the transformation take place in your life. Your faith holds the key to what you will receive from God. Your faith, not my faith. Not your leader's faith, not somebody else's faith, but your faith holds the key to what you will receive from God. Faith is not difficult to understand once you have been taught what it is and how to operate in it. At the outset, understand that faith is a principle or a law. The reason why I say that faith is a spiritual principle is that the Bible declares it to be a law. The Bible says in Romans 3:27, where is boasting then? Is it excluded by what law of work? Nay, but by the law of faith. As a law, it works all the time, and it works devoid of emotions, demographics, race, gender, nationality, location, and opposition. Faith is as consistent as gravity and can be relied upon all the time. Now, since faith cannot be activated by the word of God, your faith journey starts when you find the promises in the Bible. If your request cannot be found in the Bible, faith cannot produce it. If you can find the promise, then God is obligated to manifest it according to your faith. When you read the Bible, you will find that God promises to cover every area of your life. That's why I say he gives us everything that pertains to life and godliness. There's over 2,000 what? Promises in the word of God. Excuse me. God is more than willing to keep his word. But with God, nothing is ever impossible. And no word from God shall be without power or impossible or fulfillment. Luke 1:37. So God backs up his word with his power. This is what establishes your expectation. If God made a promise, then he wrote it for a reason. He wants you to have it. If God wanted to be mysterious, he wouldn't have written the Bible. While we may never know how God does what he does, we are very clear about one thing God would do because the Bible informs us. So once you have located the promises in the Bible, once you have located the promises in the Bible, then you shall make the quality decision to believe what God's word says. And this may sound very just simple, but so many Christians read the Bible and see what God has promised, but automatically exclude themselves. For instance, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:7, but God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. At the point at which you read this, and when you read it, you can choose to say, I know this is what the Bible says, but I do not feel like I have power because I am overcome with fear. Or you can choose to say, in spite of the feelings of fear that are gripping me, I believe what the word of God says, and I have the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So don't exclude yourself, include yourself. The Bible was written for you. Receive the promises of God, and you will see great change in your life. This is the hour, and this is the time to choose to believe God. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us power and a sound mind. So tonight, this evening, I say this again, take the promises of God, confess the word of God over your life, and believe it. And if it's in the Bible, then God will activate it. God will make it come to pass. God will make it happen. So I want to leave right there and stop right there, and I'll come back to you next with the end of it on how you can begin to regulate your life in faith, obedience, and patience. God bless you, and thank you for listening. Jesus. Dr. for JC. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Goodbye.